Next on NPR's From the Top.
Mr. Zhang, your final word is dioscuric. Dioscuric, it means twin.
Could you please use it in a sentence?
The dioscuric lions on either side of the library steps are a New York landmark.
Dioscuric. D-I-O-S-C-U-R-I-C. Dioscuric.
That is correct.
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today, from Nazareth College Arts Center in Rochester, New York, our lineup of outstanding musicians includes a teenage mezzo-soprano singing Mozart, and, as you just heard, a 15-year-old pianist who proves there's room for redemption after misspelling a word on national television. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Oh, Rochester. Really nice to see you all. Really, really great. Rochester is one of those great American cities with a huge appetite for classical music, and we're thrilled to be here with you. Thank you for joining us. And a big special thank you to our hosts and dear and loyal friends, WXXI Public Broadcasting and the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, for bringing us here. As usual, we've got great kids to share with you today, but there's one young man in the lineup who I've got to say is scarily multi-talented. It's humbling, actually, to us mere mortals. Get this, he's not only a truly gifted classical guitarist, but he's also an internationally ranked speed skater. I mean, this kid is Olympic material, and he's got an amazing story to tell. We're going to hear that later on. But let's not overlook the extraordinary local talent from here in Rochester. Five of today's performers are hometown kids. But our first performer is a visitor. She's from the Midwest, so please give a warm welcome. From Oak Park, Illinois, 17-year-old oboist Zoe Hilbert. Zoe, welcome. We're starting off our shows always with these finger-busting show pieces, but thank goodness you're going to take us in a whole other direction. Tell us about this piece.
This piece is actually a really mellow piece. It's the second movement from Saint-Saëns' Oboe Sonata, and it's a very pastoral kind of free-flowing piece. It starts with a cadenza and it also ends with a cadenza. So it kind of evokes the feeling of countryside pictures or like a brook flowing through the river.
It's a beautiful piece. As soon as I'm ready at the piano, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
Zoe Hilbert, 17 years old, our oboist from Oak Park, Illinois, playing Saint-Saëns. You know, I love that piece. I tend to really get really excited about pieces that take so much of music history into account. That opening could be like out of a Couperin suite where you just would see a written whole note and then you were supposed to let your fancy run wild. And then the main body of the Allegretto really sounds so spare. I mean, it looks forward to people like Satie and Debussy and
yeah.
This grand old man Saint-Saëns straddling all of his music history. And thank you for filling our ears with the beautiful sound of the oboe. I mean, you play really beautifully.
Thank you.
And the sound of the instrument wasn't the real reason you took it up. Why did you take up the oboe?
I actually took it up mostly because we had one in the house. My dad...
yeah. Every home should have one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad played oboe in high school, and he kept his old instrument, and so it was kind of just there. And when I went to a meeting thing for all the fourth graders who were trying new instruments, I tried out the clarinet, but one of the teachers was like, you know, there's so many clarinet players out there. Why don't you try the oboe? And so I did, and here I am.
And stuck with it. That nonconformist spirit is part of being an oboist, I think. although maybe it's just double reed players are just plain strange. I don't know. But talk about this very strange practice technique you've been taught. It's fascinating. It's like wearing blinders for the ears.
Yeah, I was in a master class with Ray Still, the longtime principal oboe of the Chicago Symphony, a couple years ago. And I was playing a piece, and he really wanted me to listen to myself instead of just like focusing on getting the notes out or playing the dynamics perfectly. So he came up behind me and he put his hands in front of my ears like this.
Sort of like Dumbo ears, but in front of your ears, I guess.
Yeah. Huh? And it made the sound kind of bounce off the walls behind me. And so I heard myself in a completely different way. And I was able to like fix my playing that way.
That's fascinating because basically the sound is going to the back of the hall, and what you're hearing behind those little hand baffles by your ear, you're hearing it come off the back wall. So it's really got to have some substance, some concentration in order to pass that test.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah.
But there's another way that your ears are particularly sensitive, Zoe. You have a real pet peeve regarding noise.
Yeah, it's actually a really strange one, but one of my biggest pet peeves is the sound of people chewing. So like people smacking on gum or eating chips really loudly or cereal, that really just gets to me.
Mm. Joanne.
Sorry.
Boy, am I glad I spit my gum out before the show. Anyway, Zoe, we're talking to three seniors on the program in high school, all of whom are really kind of struggling with what direction to go in next year. You're one of them. What's your plan? Where do you stand right now?
I'm really kind of undecided. I'm kind of thinking about pursuing an academic degree or a music performance degree, and I just can't decide. So I kind of applied to both kinds of schools. I'm doing a bunch of auditions in February, and we'll go from where I get in.
Well, gosh, I don't think that's going to be made any easier because I'm sure you're going to get in everywhere you apply. So I wish you the best with that decision-making process and all things for the future. Really great having you with us, Zoe. Thanks for being here. Zoe Hilbert, 17-year-old oboist from Oak Park, Illinois.
Our Teen E! Newsletter has reported on that very topic. And you can read about more topics important to teens by signing up to receive the Roving Report. Just go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next performer comes to us from Baltimore. She's an excellent 17-year-old mezzo-soprano named Marin Srigley. Please welcome her. Marin, welcome to the program. You're going to sing one of everybody's favorite arias from Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. Tell everybody what it's going to be, and if you wouldn't mind, tell them the story behind the aria as well.
Well, I'll be singing Voi che sapete by Mozart from Le Nozze di Figaro.
And this is a pants role, so I'm playing a boy, and my name is Cherubino, and he's the page boy. And in this aria, he's singing to the countess, who he's in love with, and he's describing all the hardships of love, the pain and the joy all combined. So it's a combination of nervousness and excitement in this aria.
Marin Strigley, our 17-year-old mezzo-soprano from Baltimore, singing Mozart quite beautifully.
Thank you.
So enjoy playing that piece, but
yeah, it was
particularly
fun.
With you, just great. Marin, you have three incredibly close friends,
right? I do.
What are their names?
Kelly, Emily, and Stephanie. Kelly is the other soprano and photographer. Stephanie's the flautist and the, I guess, sewer. She likes to sew a lot. And Emily is another soprano and a genius.
Wow. Quite a click.
Yeah.
There. That's really good. Well, as it happens, we asked your great friends to come up with the questions for this interview. After all, who better to know what really embarrassing things to ask you?
Hey, Mary, it's Steph.
This is Emily. I can't wait to hear you.
Hey, Mary, it's Kelly. Oh, my goodness, I love you. I know you're going to be great.
We love you.
Chris, you have to ask Marin why there's a special place in her heart for pancakes and suction cups.
Oh, my God.
Pancakes and suction cups.
Yeah. Well, that was actually in a memory from the first time Kelly and I hung out at her house. I spent the night, and the next morning, I like to make pancakes. That's one of my favorite things to make. So I woke up, made pancakes, and we were sitting downstairs, and suddenly our dog jumped up on the pool table and grabbed it out of my hand. And that was ridiculous. But then later, you know, we were being really silly, and this is the embarrassing part, and we had these two suction cups stuck on our foreheads, and then it looked funny, huh? But then later we realized that there was, like, hickeys on our foreheads for the next week. So, yeah. It's gone now.
a good one. All right, here's another question.
So, Chris, this is Emily. You have to ask Marin about what we did on my birthday last year.
Well, I'm sure you went to the symphony or something, right? On Emily's birthday?
Actually, we went to New York because she turned 18, and that was really fun. But the, I guess the most fun part was when we went to Betsy Johnson's shop. And if you guys don't know Betsy Johnson, she's like this wild, crazy fashion designer. Like, you know, yeah, she's
sort of
she's
shabby
ridiculous.
Chic sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we went to her shop, and we were trying all these dresses, and it became basically the epitome of girliness. You know, we tried on, like, they had these big skirts filled with tulle and stuff, so we were, like, twirling around. It was ridiculous.
Aw. With the suction cups and everything.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. We had to bring those out.
Hey, I should interrupt for a second and mention that all of you friends go to a really special school. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, I go to Baltimore School for the Arts, and it's a public school in Baltimore City. And, you know, I met these three friends at my school and, you know, a bunch of other people I feel like I'm going to know for the rest of my life. And that's why it's amazing, because, you know, on top of that, I get this, like, pre-conservatory training with music theory, music history, on top of the academics. So I have this fabulous musical training, but then I meet all these amazing people. And, you know, my voice teacher who taught me how to sing, he's a fabulous person. And my Spanish teacher, I fell in love with languages because of him. Wow. It's just all these fabulous things going
great
on
there.
Great
place to go to school. Great place to just spend time, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, question three. I'm trusting this one is going to show your deeper, more profound side.
Hey, this is Stephanie. Chris, you gotta ask Marin to make her guppy face. It's
oh my
hilarious.
God.
Oh my God.
Your guppy face? You have a guppy face?
Yeah, I have a lot of faces, but that's the one I guess that they like the most.
Really? I don't know, are you gonna be able to make a guppy face grinning and giggling?
Maybe. Wait, let me.
That's right. All right, think dire thoughts here.
Yes. Okay, wait. I do remember it. Okay. Yes.
Just you wait. That's going to cut together beautifully on radio. It's going to sound fantastic. And don't you four Musketeers have a theme song? You have your own gang theme song?
What
is it?
Can't Touch This by MC Hammer.
Oh, my God.
Every time it comes on, we start dancing, you know, thinking of MC Hammer pants.
Important to have those tent pants.
Yeah, yeah.
And but there is going to be a sad parting next year. You're another senior. What's your plan?
Well, I definitely want to do vocal performance. I have about 6 auditions lined up after this. So it's going to be busy, but it's going to be really weird not seeing them every day.
I know. And now in the midst of the audition season and stuff, you almost won't notice, you know, when all of a sudden it's summertime.
Oh, I'll notice.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you'll ever lose each other.
And, yeah, I don't think so either.
Wish you all the best next year.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Mozart was beautiful.
Thanks. It was great.
Thanks. That's the soprano, Marin Srigley, 17 years old, from Baltimore.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Hammer, don't hurt him. Now it's time for our first local musician. Please welcome a 15-year-old pianist named Harvest Zhang. Harvest, what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to be playing the Russian dance from Stravinsky's Petrushka Ballet.
So there are so many notes in this. The score is actually uniquely accommodating. It's not the usual way piano music is written out. Why don't you try and explain that to our audience?
Mm-hmm. Well, usual piano music is in 2 staves. You have treble clef for your right hand and bass clef for your left hand. And Petrushka had so many notes, they wrote it in 3 staves. And so you have the bass clef with your left hand and your treble clef with your right hand in the middle. You just play with your head. No, you play it with a combination of both hands. But it makes for an interesting piece.
Great piece. Can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
Harvest Zhang, 15 years old, our pianist from Rochester, New York, playing the Russian dance from Petrushka. I have carpal tunnel listening to you play. You know, just how do you get through that? I mean, I also really like how, I mean, it's usually just such a bang fest when I hear pianists play that, and you have such a, you know, after the barrage of the opening, you have such a wonderful lightness about that. Is that something you've thought about, or is that something, you know, just always been your conception of the piece?
Thank goodness for muscle memory.
Yeah.
You kind of learn the piece when you're looking at the score, and then just realize when you're listening to a recording of it that you can't, like, think about every single note while you're playing it, or else you're not going to be able to get through it at any decent speed. So you kind of let your muscles take over, and you're just like, oh, I'm sitting here as an audience, and I'm listening to my fingers play, and I'm going to watch from a third-person perspective, and right. That also, and that makes it work.
So once you trust your muscles, you can think about anything.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about all that extraneous stuff.
No.
You
think about how you're playing, and if you're not making it sound good, then you have to change what you're doing. So it's kind of like you're listening from an audience point of view, but you can change what the performer's doing.
Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Being a performer. Hey, didn't I see you in Seiji Ozawa's seats in Tanglewood?
Yes, in 2002. It was Van Cliburn's 60th birthday concert tour, and we went to Tanglewood, the big shed, to see him perform. And we didn't buy tickets beforehand, which is probably not a very smart thing to do, but when we got there, the only real tickets left on sale were the ones out on the lawn where everyone's just having a picnic,
yeah.
And you can't really hear what's going on inside.
Certainly can't see anything.
Yeah. And so we waited outside, and just because we were lucky, some people couldn't use their tickets, and we managed to buy tickets in the very back row of the shed. Mm-hmm. So we got into the shed, then a little while later, an usher came in, and we got to talking, and I think it came out somewhere that I played piano. And so she came back 10 minutes later, and she said, you know, come up front, we have seats for you up front. And so there was this little, roped-off section there, and I didn't know what it was. I just knew there was open seats. So I sat there, and I listened to the concert, which was amazing. And at intermission, a man sitting, somewhere near me leaned over and is like, are you Seiji Ozawa's grandson? Because, I don't know, I had black hair. I look Japanese, I guess.
I always thought Ozawa was an Irish name myself. So you're obviously gifted in the art of schmoozing ushers. But you're also a gifted speller? Been in one of those big-time spelling bees?
Yep, that was the 2005 Scripps National Spelling Bee. And so I went through the regional bee to get there, and once it was there, I got to say, that's the only time that something not sports-related has been on ESPN. So there were a little more than 270 people, about 270 people total on the first day. I made it all the way through the first day rounds, which were not televised. And then by the second day, only 50 were left. And that's when they started taping this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as it happens, the first round, I blanked out and I missed my word.
Aww.
And so, you know, the first time the people at home saw it, it was like, oh, he only got one word and he missed that.
That's terrible. That's the kind of memory you want out of your system.
Yeah.
Can we help in that regard? Would you like to
sure.
relive the moment and kind of set things straight? What was the word that you lost on, by the way?
Dioscuric.
Which means?
Twin. It's not something you hear all the time, though.
So dioscuric. Yeah, okay. I thought maybe dioscuric, you know, might have been Dan Rather's, you know, evil god, you know, dioscuric. I don't know. Don't make me come down there. Okay, let's relive that fateful moment with better results. Joanne?
Mr. Zhang, your final word is dioscuric. Dioscuric, it means twin.
Could you please use it in a sentence?
The dioscuric lions on either side of the library steps are a New York landmark.
Dioscuric. D-I-O-S-C-U-R-I-C. D-I-C, diascuric.
That is correct.
So did that feel good?
Very good. Hey, it's on radio.
It's on radio.
Except for ESPN.
Which is better, you know, making right on the spelling bee or having a phenomenal performance of the Russian dance under your belt?
This is better.
Really? Okay, well, you can get on with your life now. Thanks. Thanks for being with us. Harvest Sang, 15 years old, from here in Rochester, New York.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the top, this week we're broadcasting from Nazareth College Arts Center in Rochester, New York. Coming up next, a young guitarist from North Carolina performs two beautiful pieces by Sergio Assad. From the top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Our Rochester performance is made possible with support from the Donald and Maxine Davison Foundation and the Epstein family. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. I know you'll find our next performer impressively multi-talented. 17-year-old Kamani Griffin manages not only to be an extraordinarily talented classical guitarist, but he's also a champion speed skater. A fellow 17-year-old, our own roving reporter, Taja Coleman-Jones, got together with Kamani to watch a video of one of his recent skating competitions and to talk with him about his two lives.
So what competition is this?
This particular race is the 1,000 meter from 2007 Indoor Nationals in Omaha, Nebraska.
Wow, that's intense. That's nationals, you said?
Yeah, it's my first nationals was in 2000. This was my sixth. I was out 1 year, so.
One lap. Wow, you won that one.
Yeah.
First place.
It was actually the first, well, second race that in my individual racing that I've won. I actually won and broke the record, so
wow.
It's a good feeling.
Would you say that this is the most prestigious race that you've done?
It's the best that I've finished. Actually, when I raced in Worlds, that was a big deal. I got 11th, not great, but it's world, so it's kind of different.
You are one driven, outgoing person. Guitar, which is so hard, and this, skating. What in the world drives you? How do you do it?
I mean, you have to want it if you want to be successful and good, so I guess I just want to be that much better than everybody else that does it, so I guess it's a drive within me.
And aside from the sheer physical challenges of skating, you've had to overcome some serious emotional challenges, too, other than skating. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it was 2002 at the regional competition, which is a qualifier for nationals. And at a relay with a really good friend of mine, Johnny Patterson. And we ended up qualifying for nationals, and it was real exciting because, you know, he had just began skating and he kind of looked up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so after regionals, we just had like a annual banquet. And after that, his dad's a truck driver, so he had a drive to Pennsylvania, I think. And Johnny wanted to go with his dad, and his mom said no, and they argued. And his mom finally said yes, and he went on a truck ride with his dad, and they had an accident on the highway and flipped over a bridge, so.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was a real turning point in my life. I was only 11 when it happened, so.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I skate, you know, I think of him and would wonder where he would be in his skating career. And he's definitely one of the things that keeps me driven in the sport.
In your application to From the Top, you wrote that you are not really an emotional guy. And I saw some footage of you playing, and it was incredibly emotional. I mean, and you also play the guitar, the classical guitar, which is an emotionally sensitive instrument, and you play it well. And I saw so much emotion in your face. How can you say you're not an emotional guy?
There's, for me, emotion outside of music is typically what I kind of keep to myself, but I guess emotion, especially slower romantic pieces, my emotions tend to come out in my playing. So I guess for me, that's how I get my feelings out.
Also, I read that you've gotten into ice speed skating, which is a very popular choice in the Winter Olympics. Where are you with that?
I actually picked up short track ice skating when I was 13 or 14, I want to say. I fell in love with it and started going to practices and meets and camps. And I went to Utah for a couple clinics last year and stayed out there for a month and trained with Derek Parra, cool. Who was a gold and silver medalist in the 2002 Olympics in Utah. So,
mm-hmm.
And then a couple days ago, me and my mom received an endowment from the U.S. Olympic Committee.
Wow. So you're at this huge point in your life where it's either the guitar or it's skating. How are you dealing with that?
I mean, if I go to college for music, which I'm kind of leading towards, I have this endowment that will allow me to fly back and forth from Georgia, which is my number one choice of college, to Utah to train. So. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that this money I can use to pursue my Olympic dream.
Well, that's great. It seems like you've got everything right now going for you. So congratulations, and thank you for doing this interview with me.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Kimani Griffin. Kimani, welcome. Your intensity as a performer and as an athlete, I'm really excited about this performance that everybody's going to get to see you do for the first time. It's really an amazing thing that you do with the guitar, and the emotive quality is only spilling over from this great control and this great finesse and real virtuosic technique on the guitar. So tell everybody the piece you're going to play for us.
We'll be playing the second and third movement from the Acquarelle Suite by Sergio Assad.
We just heard about your serious stamina in guitar and skating, but you told me that when you were learning these pieces, you wanted to quit. How come?
These particular pieces on guitar especially are extremely difficult. And before I started learning these pieces, while I practice and try to learn a piece, I don't really look forward to the challenge of learning. I kind of expect it to be easy. So when my teacher gave me this piece, it kind of opened my eyes to what difficult music and guitar lies ahead for me in the future.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
You're all. spectacular performance of Two Movements from the Aquarelle Suite by Sergio Assad. Our guitarist comes to us from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 17-year-old Kimani Griffin.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
We're ending today's show with a great local boy band. They're all members of the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. They are violinists William Cho, 18 years old, and Kieran Hanlon, 17 years old. Our violist is Michael Sabatka, 18 years old, and our cellist is 18-year-old Stephen Rick. They're all from here in Rochester, and Kieran is one of those Jack Kent Cook young artists Joanne just mentioned. Please welcome the Compass String Quartet. Welcome, gentlemen. Kieran, why don't you explain to everybody how you got the quartet name?
Sure. Last year, we had a different cellist, and we got to thinking about it, and each of us were from a different direction from Rochester. Our cellist was from Irondequoit, Mike here is from Churchville, I'm from Canandaigua, and Will is from Brighton. So it's north, west, east, and south. And then this year, we have a new cellist, Steve, and he went and threw the whole thing off. So.
It's always creating trouble.
You're from what side of town?
I'm also from the east, so.
East side, represent. That's really good. keeping the peace between the clans. I like that, you guys.
The beast from the east.
West right. side's the best side.
Oh, now don't get into it now, you guys. All right. Hearing you play last night, I was a little amazed that your ensemble was so excellent. You're so together, no rushing, no instability of tempo, because in fact, in real life, you have some speed issues in other parts of life. Two of you are fast drivers, and two are real slow. Kieran, you're one of the slow ones.
I am not a slow driver.
Oh, definitely.
Yes,
I am. I do the speed limit.
Under the speed limit.
I do the speed limit.
He goes 63 on a 65.
It's because my car won't do 65.
It goes lower as you go lower, too.
Oh, man.
Nuh-uh.
This is a problem getting to rehearsals, you guys. You know, how do you get there all on time? Well, you know, how does that work?
I ride with Kieran, and we usually get there about 10 minutes after Mike and Will, and it's about a 15-minute drive. So,
do you still want those rides, Steve?
Well, Mike's got to get there early. He's the violist. It takes them a little longer to get started.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. Had to go there. All right, back to music. You're all in the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, and you guys had an amazing experience on tour in Hungary, right, Mike?
Yeah, Hungary. We went, actually, on our tour, we played the Bartok Concerto for Orchestra, and we were lucky enough to play in Béla Bartok Hall in Hungary. And while we were there, the Bartok was our finale when we were there, and they told us, the stage manager said that nothing is to be played after Bartok in Bartok Hall, kind of a tradition type thing.
So no encores.
Right, no encores are allowed. And we played the Bartok Concerto. I think it was the best performance I've personally ever played in any piece.
Exciting.
I don't know what these guys can say.
Exciting.
And I guess the audience really enjoyed it too. And after like the third or fourth time that the conductor went off stage and came back on and did another bow, the stage manager said to us, we make exception this time. Then we went ahead. Then we went and played Aaron Copland's Hoedown for our finale. So.
Very good. Way to go. Way to go. Well, your piece is a really great way to end the show. Kieran, will you please tell the audience what the piece is?
Yes. We're playing Haydn Quintet Quartet. Opus 76, number 2 in D minor, first movement.
Can't wait. Go to it, you guys. I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week, and now, Compass Quartet, you can take it from the top.
Is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Venieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with lighting by Tori Sweetser. Our technical director is Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.